It seems funny in a way that, that Paul would start praying in the middle of a writing, but that's what he's doing here. Mm-hmm. And it's a prayer. That's what it's about, prayer for the Ephesians. But remember when I said that the letter to the Ephesians isn't just written to Ephesians, mm-hmm. it's written to Martians too, mm-hmm. and all the others. Yeah. Right, Paul, this reason, what reason's that? All that he said before. What's he said before? Can you summarise chapters 1 to 3 for me?
Mainly from Ephesians 2, about this building on.
Yeah.
On the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Yep. Let me do a this is simplistic, I agree, but chapters 1 to 3 tell you what God has done for you. Yeah. Chapters 4 to 6 tell you what you do now that you're His. Yeah? You get it?
Yeah.
What God does for you comes first. That's the horse in front of the cart. He pulls you. What God's done for you, and then the rest of the chapters after chapter 3 is about how you live it out, what you have to do for God. Right, so he's praying in chapter 3 to thank God for what he's done for the Ephesians, and that somehow it will work out in their lives, because that's going to lead us into what you do next. Yeah. So, for this reason I kneel before the Father. That's wonderful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How do you pray?
Sitting, standing, running.
You've got the point. It doesn't really matter what position you're in. Why does he say kneel then? No, there's no should about it, Ron. God can hear your prayers whether you're in on a rocket in the sky or down in a coal mine. It doesn't matter where your position is in that sense. Mm-hmm. But why does he say kneel? There's some real symbolism or help.
It's like you're sort of bowing before God.
Yes. Yes.
It's
they normally stand, and to kneel was a very deep act of reverence.
Reverence, yeah. It's showing your humility. What, after all, you, little you and I, are coming before the Almighty God. Yeah. I mean, that's worth thinking about. And the kneeling side of it, mind if you had a knee operation, you weren't much good at doing that either. Yeah, but you got the idea. If you can't kneel in your body, you certainly should be kneeling in your heart. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Recognizing that he's the Lord of all. Yeah. So, I kneel before who?
God.
Well, he says God. Doesn't say God there, though.
No, it's the Father.
Father. Yes. Why? Why does he say Father, then?
Father of the Lord Jesus.
Yes. Father of creation. Yes. But why does he say I kneel before the Father?
Because
he's like a father. It's about a relationship with him. We're not talking to some distant God. Right? We're talking to Father, our heavenly Father, who loves you and created you, yeah, and saved you. Right? So we kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. Now there's an interesting phrase, and it has lots of interpretations, but what would you like to suggest it means? From the Father, whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. Well, who's the family?
We are.
We are.
Right. What about heaven and earth family? Who's the heaven family?
The ones who've gone before.
The ones who've gone before. That's one of the best interpretations. Yes. Some of them include angels as well, but yeah. I'd like to think, first of all, and primarily, it's about God's people, his children, his family, in heaven, who've gone before, and on earth, are the ones who are around and still breathing.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That's where the word Father takes its title, really, isn't it?
That's what it's saying is, you are the family of God, and he is our Father. Mm-hmm. Right. We acknowledge Father as God. Right, that's wonderful, yes?
So what is the family of God?
The family of God in heaven and on earth.
Yes, that's his name.
What is the name? Family?
The family, yeah.
Not God's family or Father's
family? Well, Father's family, it's the Lord's family.
Or the church. John.
Call it the church.
John.
Yes, Messianic community. Yeah. It's his kids.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
We've got the name of the family now, have we? The whole family derives its name. We belong to the same family. How about that? What should that imply?
Well,
We love one another.
Should do, yes. But there's something more than that. One of the interesting things is, if someone brings you a photo of their newly arrived little darling, right, what do you normally say?
Oh.
Well, apart from apart from the gooey stuff, he looks like his mum or his dad or she looks like, don't they?
You
got the idea?
Yeah.
So if the family derives its name from the father, what should people say when they look at you? They won't go, they should say,
they're one of those.
I can see something of God in this person. That's what it's about. Yes, you got the idea, right. So he's on his knees, he's talking to the father about his family, and he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being.
Okay.
Yeah, I pray. Now, what's his view of God? What does he think God is like?
Well, you know who he is.
Yeah, but from this little this phrase he uses, his glorious riches. What's his view of God?
A bounteous God.
Yes, God has got enough supplies to meet your needs. That's what he's getting at.
Yeah.
Out of his glorious riches means he's got plenty to be able to bless you with. So I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you. Why do you need to be strengthened?
We live in this world and
because we're weak. Yeah. Strengthen you with power. Well, that's how it's the only thing that will strengthen you, of course.
Yeah.
With power through his spirit in your inner being.
Okay.
Yeah. So how does God strengthen you?
By you asking the Holy Spirit into your heart.
Yes. Where's the power supply coming from then?
God.
It's the Lord's Spirit in you giving you the power.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Remember that, because if you try to run on your own batteries, you'll run out fast.
Yeah.
Yes. It's God's power supply on the inside that will keep us going. Right. So with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I've got other translations of that. Are there any others? The inner being or whatever?
Inner man.
Inner man.
Inner being.
Inner man.
Power through his rod, his Holy Spirit.
Right. So if I got one of these medical textbooks out, it shows you all chopped up into pieces and things like that, and sliced up, you know. Where's your inner man then, your inner being?
It's in your spirit. You can't see it.
That's right, yes. There's more to you than can be chopped up, the thing, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about this, just having had dinner and things like that, but yes. Yeah. There's more to you than your physical being.
Yeah.
You're a spiritual being as well, and that's where you need the power supply.
So is that what you call the soul then?
Yes, although there's sometimes people talk about the body, spirit and soul.
Yeah.
Soul being the personality of the person there. You got the idea. But there's a spiritual part as well. Yeah. They don't always draw that distinction. They sometimes say body and soul, meaning body and the spirit and the person that's there. Yeah. All right. So that's where we need the power. So the Holy Spirit's going to enable us with his power so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.
Mm.
What does God want to do? He wants to come and live in you. Isn't that amazing,
yes.
Eh? Yeah. And that is prayer. Well, why is he praying that for these Ephesian Christians? Hasn't Jesus already come to live in them?
Yes. He's with us when we're not with the Lord. He's in our body, isn't he?
He's under control. He's controlling. He's around and about. But there's something when you become a Christian, Jesus comes to live within you. It's a bit like, in a way, when Jesus, before he was born as a man, Jesus was around, wasn't he? He's always been.
Yeah.
And he appeared as an angel form at times. Mm-hmm. Yes. And other times just the glory and all of that. Yeah. And then something remarkable happened that first time when the Lord became a man. He joined human nature to his nature. Inseparably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's true of us as Christians. God's always around, even when you weren't a Christian. He's always been there.
Yes.
And I bet some of you can look back and think, yeah, God was working in my life before I became a believer, and thank God for it, because I wouldn't be here today if he hadn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
But although God's all around, something remarkable happened when you came to Jesus and accepted him as your Saviour and received God's forgiveness. What happened was that God joined you to him by his Spirit to be united with Jesus. Yeah? Something like Jesus being born a man has happened in you. You've become a human that's got God inside you now.
Yeah.
And that was true then. So why does he pray that the Lord may be, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith?
I wonder if perhaps some of the Jewish believers found this a hard concept.
They would, yeah. It's a staggering one. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the amazing thing about it is that this God who's bigger than everything can in a way become a resident in you.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's almost as startling as thinking that God could become a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he says he's going to come, and what's the word he uses for that? It's a word to dwell. Do you know what the word dwell means?
To live in.
To live in. Yeah. But something more than living in.
Make his home in you.
It's to make his home. It's a permanent dwelling. He's come to make his home in you. Yeah? He's not turning up for the holidays.
No.
Yeah? And then going again. He's coming to live in you. Right? So, that's happened to these Christians. So why does Paul pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith? And, well, why does he ask that? If he's there.
To mature more, I suppose.
That's what it's about. Okay. There's always more of God to find out and discover in your heart and life, isn't it? Yeah? He can fill you more and more. He wants these Christians to know more of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's none of us got arrived yet, I don't think, on that one. But there's more to discover. And how does it all work? How does God come to dwell in you and me through Jesus by his Spirit? It's through
communion with him.
Yes, but the word he uses there.
No, we haven't got there yet.
We have. It is. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts
through faith.
Yes. Yes. You've got to believe him.
Yes.
Yes, that's what it's about. You've got to believe him that he's willing and able to do it. And whether you feel it or not to start with doesn't matter. It's true. God's going to come and live in you if you put your trust in Christ. But I've got news for you. I think if God comes to live in you, you might find out something about it as well. Yeah. He won't be there very long before he's making himself obviously abundantly present and clear.
There is a verse, isn't there? What is faith? Something not seen and...
Yeah.
You know, about...
The one in Hebrews, it's the evidence of things not seen. Yes, yeah. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, you might not see them physically in that sense, but you begin to experience the presence of the Lord, yeah? He changes the way you think.
Yeah.
Changes your attitudes and desires. Now, as I say, he doesn't wave magic wands and sort of, poof, you're all perfect Christians by now. He's working at it, of course, and some of it's hard work for him for us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why Paul prays, I pray that you'll know more, really, effectively is what he's saying, that Jesus will grow into you in more and more. You'll have him more and more inside of you, yeah? Yeah? And I pray that, this is his prayer, another part of his prayer, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Yes, that's what he's praying for to start with, that they be rooted and established. Now, that there's two types of words he's using there. What's rooting about? It's a plant idea, isn't it? So he's using the gardening image. What's important about roots?
Stable. Yeah.
Holding on. I mean, if we have some good winds blowing, you tell out which trees have got good roots or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ones that have got deep roots, good roots, they're stable. They've got a source of life that's you can't see, but it's there. Yeah. And that's the rooted bit. Yeah. That's what he wants for them. And that you being established. What's the established word about? What part of
this?
Yes, but the word to establish there, is there another word, translators there?
Grounded.
Yeah. Grounded, that's the one, yes, yeah. Right. Grounded. What's the, what industry uses the idea of grounding things?
Gardening.
Mm-hmm. Not gardening, no, not this time.
Basically.
It's building.
Yeah.
You've got to get a foundation right.
Foundation.
Yeah, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. So he's using two types of ideas.
Yeah.
Gardening, If you like gardening, you need to be rooted. If you like building, you need to be grounded. Yeah.
Sand and rock.
That's right. Solid foundations. No rock. No sand rather. Good, good rock we need. Yeah. So he's praying that when they've got a good grip on God and His love, established in His love, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp the love of God. Yeah. To begin to get to understand something more of it. So he says, when you're being fixed and settled in the Lord and in His love, he says, then you'll have some power with all the saints. Why does he talk about all the saints? Because our Christianity, brothers and sisters, may be a personal matter in terms of your coming to know the Lord, but it's not a personal matter. Yeah. Once you've come to know the Lord, you're in the family.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what did he tell them to say?
Our
Father. Yes. Now, I'm sure you can say, my Father. The spirit in our spirit cries out, Abba Father, yes.
Yeah.
Right? But it's our, we're in the family, and that's what he's getting at.
Yeah.
There's something amazing. And for all our imperfections, brothers and sisters, and we've seen a few in recent times, I guess, yeah?
Mm.
For all our imperfections, I just marvel at how good God is to us, you know. We're really blessed as a people to be able to love one another and do things for one another. And value one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? That's what we're meant to do.
Yeah.
And I thank God I see some of that.
Yeah.
But we can always want more, can't we? But
yeah.
That's right, yeah.
We're
yeah.
set apart for God, aren't we?
We are, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, I pray that you, having a good foundation, rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp. To grasp means to get a good hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? How wide, long, high and deep is the love of Christ? Well, people have made lots and lots out of this phrase there.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Did it say then?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Wide, long, high and deep. I mean, some have drawn a cross from that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's cross-shaped, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fine, yeah? But let's have a think about what he's talking about in the ideas that he's got there. How wide?
Don't care where.
How wide? Okay. How wide is God's, Jesus' love?
The whole world.
The whole world! People, and you read in Revelation, from every tribe, language and nation. Doesn't matter what your colour is, where your grandmother came from, doesn't matter one little bit. If you're in Jesus, you're in the family. Wonderful, eh? So wide is that far, yeah? Covers the whole earth, yeah? How wide? And what about long? How long is his love?
Well,
east to west. Yeah, east to west. Or you could say unending. That's the idea. Yeah. When Jesus does something, he does it permanently. Yes. If he sets his love on you, he's going to keep his love on you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Yeah. So that's how long. Yeah. No, never alone. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
Oh, no, never alone. Yeah. Well, of course, he's going to be there all the time. So that's the long one. About high.
The highest mountain.
Well, how high is Jesus going to take you?
Wherever. Heaven.
To heaven. Right? You don't get any higher.
That's right.
Yes. That's how high his love is going to take you. So you're
heightened.
Up to there. Yes. And what about the depth of his love?
The deepest sea.
Yes. Yes. I'd like to say, what mess did he get you out of?
Yeah.
How deep a hole did you manage to dig before he dragged you out of it?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful bit David says, it's in Psalm 40, isn't it? He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He listened to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, put my feet on the rock for a new song in my mouth. Yeah. So that's the depth that he's gone down. And of course, what's the depth of the love of God is that Jesus came down from heaven to become a human and to die on the cross. That's going as low as you can get in order to save you. That's his love. Measured for you, yeah?
There was a lady from the Second World War from Holland,
yeah.
And she was in prison with her sister
in the camp. Yeah.
And she said, because they were sharing the gospel with the other ladies in the camp, and she said, the depth of our horror is God's depth is even deeper.
God's love is deeper still, yeah?
Deeper still, yeah.
Yeah. So, he wants people to know that.
Yes.
Well, I guess we've got an inkling, but to get to know more of that. He says, so I want you to grasp what this kind of love is. How deep is the love of Christ? Now isn't that wonderful? You know, these early Christians, they were substantially Jewish people that are talking, and yet they put Jesus and God in the same category. You know, because somehow they discovered, I mean it was by revelation of God, that this Yeshua isn't just a man.
No.
He's God being revealed in his wonderful ways. And that's how God how we experience God. It's the Father we come to, and it's through Jesus. He's the way, the means through which we can come to know God our Father as well. Yeah. So it's the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I mean, it's completely stupid language. He says, I want you to know what you can't know, effectively. To know this love that surpasses knowledge.
Everything.
Yeah. It goes beyond your ability to grasp really what it's all about.
Yes.
But I got good news for you. You may not figure out everything about God's love, but you can certainly enjoy some of it.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to know everything to be able to enjoy something. Is that right?
Yeah.
And well, he's wanting you to know more of it anyway. This love that surpasses knowledge. And there's another truth in that, brothers and sisters, that to experience the love of God, you won't get it from reading books and manuals.
No.
Yeah. It's something that God's by His Spirit produces in you, through His Word, of course. I mean, you can read this book, this isn't a manual, it's God's Word. But, yeah, you've got the idea, it surpasses knowledge. You won't find out about God through philosophy, through science, although once you know God, science will tell you, isn't He fantastic?
Yes.
Yeah? And philosophy, God's bigger than our thoughts, you know. So, but you won't discover God that way. You get to know God through loving Him through Jesus. Yeah. So it's, it surpasses knowledge. Yeah, so one good piece of news is you don't have to be clever to know the Lord.
No.
He'll make you clever as you go along. That's amazing, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. I might sound arrogant, but I think I'm a bit smarter than I was before I was a Christian.
Mm.
Yeah. Because we grow in wisdom, don't we? God shows us how to think in new ways.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So you may have different opinions about that. You're welcome to them as well, of course. Yeah. Right, so that you, this is you, you doesn't mean you singular.
No.
It means you as a people.
Yes.
You, and of course, people are made up of individuals, but that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's crazy too. Forgive me, Lord, for using these words.
Mm-hmm.
But how can you, with your little tin cup, come to Almighty God and you be filled up with God? I mean, God's bigger than your tin cup, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, He's coming to fill us, as this people, up to the measure that He is.
Yeah.
We come to know and experience God in some amazing ways. Yeah. Well, isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
To have those blessed times with the Lord where He makes Himself known in a special way.
Yeah.
And that's my prayer, not only Paul's prayer, but my prayer for all of us and for myself, that we know more of this amazing God and His wonderful love for us. Yeah. Right, so that's Paul's prayer for them. And now, when the interesting thing about Paul is that when he's talking about the Lord, he does get carried away, yeah, and he starts breaking out into praise. And so this last little bit is a eulogy. It's not really a prayer, although it is a prayer, but it's a prayer of praise.
Mm-hmm.
These last couple of verses here. Now, see. I say in Romans, after Paul's talked about the gospel, about what God's going to do through the Jews and how He's going to bring them back to Himself, and how He's worked by His Spirit and all of that, do you know what he says at the end of it? Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable His ways and all of that. Yeah, Paul has an awe in his heart. Yeah, and I just want to ask for myself and you: do you have an awe in your worship? It's awe, it's what it's about, you know. Oh, you can't describe it, Lord, but you're fantastic, yeah? And that's what he's saying is, now, yes, so wonderful. Now, to Him who is able, yes, that's wonderful. Who is able? God is able. Are you glad God is able?
Yes.
Your God is not suffering from any disabilities, yeah? He's able to do anything, yeah? So, to Him who is able to do immeasurably, What's immeasurable?
Beyond.
Yes. See, he's using big words here. Do you know why he's using big words? Because he's a big God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was able to do immeasurably more. Yeah. Now, how do you get? I mean, if immeasurable is big enough, how much is immeasurably more? Yeah. It's bigger than immeasurable.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, yeah, there we have the contrast. Here's God with his fantastic, infinite capacity. And you with what you can ask or imagine.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can ask and you can imagine only so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That nice to know?
Wonderful.
That he's got bigger reserves than you can think up of.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he's talking about your prayers when he says that you ask. We ask God for things, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Why do we ask?
All the time.
All the time. Because
yeah.
We need him all the time. Yeah. That's not a sign of weakness.
No.
That's a sign of being smart.
No.
Yeah. When you realise where you need the power.
Because he said to ask.
Yes. No. We ask him.
You keep on asking.
Right. But why does he then throw in this word imagine? I just want to sort of think about your prayers and my, well, think about my prayers, you know. Lord, I'm willing to ask for this.
Yeah.
I can imagine maybe a bit more, but better not ask too much, have you?
Don't
read it. And that's sad, really, you know, because God says bring large requests, you know. But he's saying even what you can think of, God can beat. And I want to encourage you in your praying. This is all about praying, yeah? What does that little verse encourage you about? To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you ask or imagine.
Whatever.
He can do anything. In other words, this is the thing that strikes me. God is not limited by your asking and your thinking. I mean, he sometimes answers as we ask, but there are times, and you know God is able to do this, he can go far beyond what you've asked for.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he pressed down, shaken together and flowing over is our God, you know. So what I'm trying to encourage you is, don't be put off if you don't think your prayers are much good, because God's able to answer beyond what you've asked him or imagined. That's good?
Using his name in the prayer.
Yeah, use his name in the prayer.
If you don't get it quite right, you muck your words up. He knows what you mean.
There's a bit in Romans there. The Spirit searches our hearts.
Yes.
And he knows what we're after.
Yes.
And the nice thing is, well, the wonderful thing is, that if you get it wrong, if you've not quite got it right, Jesus can translate your prayer into the right one. And of course he brings his precious blood as the offering for our failings and our sins, so that it's acceptable. So he's able to answer above and beyond all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We're back to that bit. Yeah. What's the power that you're running on?
His
power. It's got to be his power. Yeah, your Duracell batteries will run out. Yes, it's got to be his power at work within us. And he says he can do these things because it's his power in us that's at work. And that is a big challenge for us as the church, as individuals, because, I mean, I look at the New Testament and these are ordinary men and women, no different to us, and yet they are things they accomplished for God. They're astounding, aren't they? You know? And what was it? It was because they were so strong and powerful and clever? No. But it's they were available to God to work through. And there's the challenge for us. I mean, God has his timing in things. God moves in his own way and his own time, but being available for God, we might be able to do a bit more than we sometimes do, perhaps, yeah? Anyway, there's the little challenge. His power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. So Father gets the glory. How, where does it come from? Where does the glory come from? To him be glory in the church. How is God glorified in the church?
Through worship.
Worship's a very good one, yeah? Anything else?
By praise,
yes, our worship, our praise. But God gets the glory. I'd just like you to imagine you're an angel for a moment, yeah? Hard to go, but yeah. Imagine you're an angel and you're looking down on this crowd called MEF or any church you want to choose, yeah? Right, right. And you look at this crowd and you see such a motley group of people and all of them from such amazingly different backgrounds. And yeah, and the angel sees that God has called you, chosen you, and equipped you to worship and serve Him. Mm-hmm. I'll tell them, the angel says, wow, God's got to have done that. It's God's glory shining out of you, because He takes the weak things and the useless things and the nobodies to make something out of us.
Yeah.
Yeah? So we glorify Him in that way. We worship Him, as you said, but we also glorify Him by just being His people.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bit in C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. It's a mature demon training an instructor, a younger demon, how to mess up human beings, basically. That's what it's about, yeah. And the older ones talking about these, I don't know if he calls them worms or whatever, these human beings, anyway. He says, it's amazing. I don't understand, he says, he actually loves these worms. Yeah. And God gets the glory when you are serving Him. Yeah, and honouring Him. That's one. So, in the church and in Christ Jesus. How does God get the glory in Jesus? Give us a few things. How is Jesus glorifying the Father? How did He do it?
Went to the cross.
Went to the cross. Well, how did that glorify the Father?
Because He obeyed Him.
Obedience. That's one, yes. He obeyed. That's one, yeah. Anything else?
Triumph over death.
Triumphed over death, yes. God has the victory.
Yes.
Yes. And one of the things that's astounding and important about the cross is God is a righteous God. He cannot look on sin. Yes. So how is He going to accept sinners except somebody stands in their place?
Yes.
And God's justice, His perfectly righteous justice against wrong and wickedness, is met at the cross. And Jesus did it. So God is glorified in His justice, and He's glorified in His mercy.
Mm-hmm.
The two can be working together, because the price is paid, you can be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Jesus glorifies Father in that way too. Yeah. And of course, in Jesus' obedience,
mm-hmm.
He did exactly what Father wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, Jesus is glorified in us, because He comes to dwell in us and manifest God's glory to us as well. Yeah. So, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations. That sounds like a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Forever and ever.
It ties in with Psalm 145, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Verses 4 and 13.
Yes.
Do you want
yes.
me to read?
Please do, yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Verse 4 says, from one generation we will praise His works,
mm-hmm.
to another generation
yes.
declare His mighty acts.
Amen.
And verse 13 would say,
yeah.
Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages,
mm-hmm.
and Your dominion endures from generation to generation.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Which is a lovely, you say it ties in.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Paul is effectively quoting those verses.
Uh-huh.
This man, someone said of John, Spurgeon said of John Bunyan,
yeah.
says, you stick a pin in him anywhere and the Bible runs out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Paul.
Paul.
Yeah. 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 He's soaked in God's word. It's just part of him.
Mm.
And so when he's praying, it just pours forth as well. Yeah.
Mm.
Right. So that's Paul's prayer. I've just got one little challenging thought for you now.
Yeah.
Here Paul is talking about, he's praying here,
mm.
and he's telling these people, how does that fit in when Jesus, if you read his Sermon on the Mount, he says, when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees, they get their trumpets out, let everybody know they're doing something, and all of that.
Thank
he says, well, you go into your room, and pray to your Father, who is in secret, he'll be able to hear you and answer you. Well, what's the difference?
Just between you two.
Right, well, what's this kind of prayer then? Paul's told everybody what he's praying, hasn't he? He's just written it down.
To encourage.
Yeah. Yeah. What is there a place? Is there a place for private prayer? You'd say yes.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Is there a place for public prayer?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. To pray for each other and to be part of the public prayer
yeah.
is important, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that worship in the temple. They prayed.
Yeah.
Kings and leaders and prophets prayed before the people, of course. So there's a place for public prayer, but the warning is what Jesus was warning his disciples and so on is, when you're praying, don't try to impress people. It's Father we're talking to.
Yes.
And He's not impressed by your big words.
Quite
he knows bigger words than
and
you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's insincere,
Well, they're not necessarily short and sweet. I agree with what you're saying. If it's going to be flowering, whatever. I remember reading about one dear man of God. He said he went to this prayer meeting, and this brother, he said he started praying. He said he prayed me into the spirit, and then he prayed me out again. Prayer's an amazing thing. Can I just say, we'll close with reading what our Lord Jesus has to say. It's in Matthew chapter 4, 5-ish or something like that. That's chapter 6. Yes. Right, so this is a little lesson in about our praying. Yeah? Verse 5. Chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Mm. And the reason is, they wanted to be seen, they got seen, that's it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Yeah, so Father's able to hear and answer your prayers. The reward is answering your prayers. It's good. Do you get encouraged when God answers your prayers?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's a good reward, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Right. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Yeah. So God's not impressed by your long talk or vocabulary. Yeah.
He knows your heart.
That's he knows right. your heart, yes. Yeah. But he wants to hear you say, and he wants to hear you ask. Yeah. I find that. Do you find prayer an amazing thing? It's astounding. I mean, God knows what you're going to say. Mm-hmm. He knows what you want to ask for long before you've even thought of it. Mm-hmm. And yet, he wants you to say it. Mm. It's all part of the way he answers, yeah? Anyway, there we are. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jesus isn't telling you the prayer to pray, although it's a good prayer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the kind of things that you need to have in your prayers. Yeah. And it starts with, Our Father, you're recognizing you're part of God's family and you're part of the family that is God's the Father of, yeah? Our Father in heaven, so just remember where you are and where he is, yeah? Hallowed be your name, it's worship, yeah? Mm-hmm. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, not what I want, but what you want is really what it's about there, yeah? Give us today our daily bread, so it's okay to ask, isn't it? Yeah. And why did he say daily bread? Why can't you say, Lord, give me a month's supply? Well, it goes stale. Yeah. But the other reason is, God wants you to keep talking to him, and if he gave you a month's supply, you'd be tempted to say, don't call me, Lord, I'll call you when I need some more.
Yeah.
Yes, right, okay, daily bread, and that's how our lives come a day at a time. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Right, so we get into debts. That's not financial. Well, it can be financial.
No.
But the debts are you owing.
Yes.
Yeah, because of your sin. Right. Okay. And lead us not into temptation. Right, Lord, keep us out of harm's way. That's a good prayer. Yeah. Keep us out of harm's way. But deliver us from the evil one. Because we've got an enemy. He's around. Don't we know it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then he says, but if you forgive men, and he's applying that bit, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And so you need to be this person that's been changed by God to become responsive to him. Yeah. So, when you pray, thank the Lord, worship him, ask for what you need to ask, and trust that he's going to be able to answer. He's able to do above and beyond what you ask or imagine.
Just as well. Put in there.
Yes.
We have asked you to pray for Kate's healing on her legs.
Yes.
Since the beginning of July, she's had two very bad legs.
Right.
And I prayed that the Lord would heal.
Yeah.
And then I stopped doing that. And next time I prayed, I thanked the Lord for
it. Ah.
And right. I can now tell you, one leg is completely healed, the other one's nearly there.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's interesting, isn't it? Remarkable. Yeah. God is able. We ought to start thanking him that he can do it, and he will do it, and he has done it.
Yes. This is
what faith's about. I've been reading about King Hezekiah when he was surrounded by the Assyrian army.
Yes.
And he told the people, he says, now just remember, they think they'd been able to destroy all these other kingdoms because the gods that they worshipped were useless. They are useless, yeah. And he thinks our God's like his. Tell you what, let's trust him. And you'll see that our God can do what their gods couldn't. And of course he did. So that's faith.
Have the time to listen as well.
Time to listen. Some of us aren't very good listeners, Henry, but you're right, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I was thinking that God's power, it can be limited by our faith, can't it?
According to your faith, it will be to you. And Jesus says, your little faith, doesn't he? Yes. Yeah. It can be. But if God's going to do something, this is to the mystery.
I've thought that, though.
Yeah.
Because as you're saying, that once you begin to realise how much, as we talk about how great, how lovely, the more you want.
Yes.
And therefore, it's you know, once you get on the go, it's like a race, you keep going, get more and more.
That's right.
And as you get there, there's something more. It goes on and on, doesn't it, until we get to heaven.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's something more, something greater.
Yeah. Yes. But it's a good prayer to ask, Lord, that, like the, David says in it's 139, isn't it? Search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me, because the offensive ways will block God working. Yeah. And lead me in the way everlasting. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, help us. None of us have got it fully sorted out, I guess, but we have a God who's bigger than you're able to be able to imagine, right? And he's wanting to bless us. Isn't that amazing? And do you think Paul's prayer has been answered?
Yes.
Let's pray then. Yeah. Well, Lord, we've talked about it, but it's better to talk to you about it as well, Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord. Teach us to pray, Lord. I know the disciples asked that all long ago, Lord. They saw something about your prayer life, Lord, that was different to theirs. Teach us, Lord, to come to you in worship, in reverence and awe, realizing how great a God you are, Lord. When we get there, then the things we ask for don't seem quite so big after all. Lord, help us, we pray. And Father, thank you. You're a God who is able and willing to answer far more and better than we can ask or imagine. Lord, what a relief, Lord. You're not a slot machine where we put the coin in and pull the lever, Lord, and out comes the answer. Lord, you're a God who's bigger than all of that, Lord. What we ask may be somewhat amiss, Lord, altogether wrong, but Lord, you're a God who's able to turn it all around and answer in the most wonderful way. We worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We thank you, Father. We're part of the big family of Jesus, your Son. So, Lord, may your Holy Spirit work in us that we may grasp more and more of this incredible, well, incredible means unbelievable. And Lord, we believe it, but we don't really begin to understand half of it. Lord, as the Queen of Sheba said when she saw Solomon's majesty, I was told about it, but the half was not being told. Lord, that's a true of you, how great you are, and we're amazed at your love for us, Lord. Why should you set your love on us? But we thank you have. And we bless you, Lord, and pray that we may live worthily of you, as you enable us, Lord, to please and honour you day by day. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.